Please turn with me tonight to 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter's first letter and chapter 1. I'm reading a verse that is read every third Sunday in a month when we approach the Lord's table. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. My subject tonight is the redemptive price. Redemptive price. A price was paid. Please, before I even start this Bible study, may I say, my brothers and sisters, let us never be weary of hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ, about his work, about his person, about his blood, about the ransom he paid to purchase unto himself a holy people. I know these are things we take for granted, but never be weary to hear about what Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. Salvation comes with unpopular words, some unpopular words. If I can just mention a few of them. Sin, unpopular word, but it comes with salvation. Redemption comes with the word repentance. It is not used in the English language, it seems, anymore. Only in churches, and even so, in only few churches. What about the word blood? Oh, don't speak about blood. But never be weary about hearing about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, we have to be sensitive. But never be weary of hearing that Christ shed his blood for his people. Or the words which are unpopular is holiness. Since when in the secular world, at work, at uni, in the community, have you heard people saying, do you live a holy life? It is a different language for the unconverted ones. But what about the word hell? We don't want to hear, but salvation comes also with that word. What about the word judgment? Redemption comes with the word judgment. And we can say there is an endless list of words which people do not want to hear. Ransom. Redemption. My dear brothers and sisters, how much do you cost? How much are you willing to sell your soul tonight? You and me. How much? For how much? And as we read this passage speaking about the redemptive price that was paid, my soul costs more than all the riches, all the fortunes put together, all the luxuries, all the sumptuous things you can think about. All the jewelries of this world put together. Your soul and my soul cost so much. That's why you can invest, people invest in gold and silver. But when it comes to salvation, gold and silver are worthless. Worthless. And you remember, I'm sure, when Peter said to the beggar, the lame man, in Acts chapter 3 verse 6, he was there begging, expecting to be given something. But Peter said to him in that passage, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. No amount of money, no amount of gold can pay for a soul. My dear friends, the value of a soul is priceless. It is the price of a soul is so high that only God, most precious one, was able to afford it, was able to purchase it. So that's why salvation required more than planets of gold and silver. You know what it required? It required all that God had. If you may allow me to say, to save you and me, God emptied heaven. And Augustine, he said, even if there was one sinner to love, one, just one in this world to love, Christ would have come. Why? Because of the value of one soul, one soul. In Isaiah 52, verse 3, it says that no money can buy a soul. It is priceless. So, as we consider the redemptive price tonight, remember, God emptied heaven for you and me, if you have trusted in Him. God gave us His only begotten Son, His beloved one. You see, God didn't give us something. He gave us someone. The dearest one, the beloved one, God gave us God. That's how you have to look at it. I have four very simple headings as we think about the redemptive price. The first one is here in verse 18. A precious price. Verse 18 and 19. That's the first heading. A precious price has been paid to secure and to purchase your soul and my soul. The first thing I want you to notice in verse 18, Peter says, for as much as ye know, ye know. Agnostics, they say, nobody knows. Nobody can know. But please, that word is so important. We can know. We know we have been passed from death to life. We know that Christ died for us. But you see, the word to know here, for as much as you know, it means we precisely know. You know if you are saved or not. You can know it. Because in Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will witness to your spirit that you are a child of God. You can know. Oh yes, sometimes we may struggle with assurance. We may struggle with our feebleness. We may struggle with our wickedness. We may struggle with so many a tsunami of temptations. But deep down in our hearts, we know we have been changed. We are not the same anymore. So that's something, a token given to you and me by the Lord to know that we have been redeemed, we have been saved, we have been rescued, we have been delivered. There are people, unfortunately, that many tele-evangelists, you hear them, you can read what they are saying, you can watch what they are saying. Oh, we don't know. What about the other religions? And you find some Christians, so-called Christians, we don't know. Maybe other religions, they have some truth. Yes, they have some truth, but they don't have salvation. But Peter says here, for as much as you know. You can know the power of the gospel. Romans 1 verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God, the dynamite of God. Never be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power. And this same gospel picked you up from the guttermost to the uttermost and changed you. I'm sure you heard this many times. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ as sinners. But as soon as we believe on the Lord, we become sinner saints. Sinner saints. Changed, transformed. A new life is given unto us. The worm becomes a butterfly. Beautiful. And there is a testimony in the life of a converted believer. But that word, Peter says, 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed. That word redeemed is the key word. That's why we are speaking about the redemptive price. The word redeemed or redeemed is a commercial word. It's a commercial term. And it is related to slavery in the market, market slaves. That's the term. But please, you move from that secular term, market term, commercial term, to a spiritual term, and the word redeem means to be set free from slavery, slavery of sin, slavery of pollution, slavery of corruption, slavery of depravity. Like the people of old of Israel who were slaves in Egypt, we were slaves in the world. We were slaves of sin. We were slaves of the flesh. We were slaves of our own instincts. That's the meaning. But once we are redeemed, you are redeemed from sin. You are redeemed from the consequences of sin. You are redeemed from an empty life. And you are also redeemed from dead works. Dead works. Remember, Bible says in Isaiah 65, all our righteousness is like a filthy rag. We have nothing to present to the Lord. That's why we carry on by saying, we will repeat it. It will be our leitmotif, that salvation is by grace alone. Money talks, the saying goes. You can buy books, but no brains. You can buy amusement, but you cannot buy happiness. You know that more than me, I'm sure. People, they may have mountains of money, but you read every day the news, what is happening to them? They die in sadness, complete sadness, in big despair. Money can buy you medicine, but it cannot buy you good health. Money can procure you power, influence. It can procure you, even in some countries, you need a ransom to set free a hostage. It is happening in some countries, even in our days. But you see, my dear brothers and sisters, no amount of money can redeem one single soul. Even one. What about millions? You can sell your soul to the devil. You can sell your soul for money's sake. But no amount of money, again, planets of money, could not redeem your soul. Why? Because salvation is not for sale. If there is somebody who does trading here, please remember God has nothing to sell. He's not a tradesman. Salvation is free. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. God is a giver. You see, Christ, our Savior, it is a prophecy actually from Zechariah chapter 11. Christ was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Do you know what that amounts for? It was the price of a slave. But guess what? What Christ offered by his life, by dying on the cross of Calvary, procures to millions and millions of people who will trust in him immeasurable grace. Immeasurable. Oh, what a savior. What a savior. But you see, Peter carries on, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Redeemed from vanity. Vanity. From sin. From shame. From guilt. Please allow me to say something here. Animal sacrifices. The Jewish religion, this is one of the passages which says that the Jewish religion does not save anyone. If a Jew doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, like a Gentile, He has no access to the living God, and he will not have access to heaven. So, which means that the Jewish religion, according to 1 Peter 1:18, is futile, it is pointless, because Christ is the Savior, he is the Messiah. But what about the Gentile religions, in plural, the cults? There are so many religions around the world, thousands of them certainly. They are all also futile. Status, traditions, fleeting values, all these things cannot buy for a soul, cannot pay for a soul. They cannot purchase a soul. My dear brothers and sisters, the currency to secure your soul was not counted in banknotes. There was no monetary system to pay for one soul. But guess what? To pay for your soul, the currency was counted in drops in a fountain of blood, a divine and sacred blood. By his stripes, we are healed. By his stripes. Isaiah 53. You know the Jews, even today, they read Isaiah 52, they turn the page, they don't read Isaiah 53. They go to Isaiah 54. Why? By his stripes we are healed. Please, I don't want to worry you, but allow me to make a very important application here for you and me. Unbiblical inherited traditions and cultures and practices do not save anyone. Why am I saying this? I'm sure even in our own congregation here, you meet some people, they are proud of their culture. They are proud of their background. They are proud of their pedigree. They are proud of their practices. They are proud. Oh, these are our traditions. These are our values. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 says, they count for nothing. Why? Because you and me now as Christians, we have new culture. We have new traditions. We have new practices. Where are they? In the Bible. 66 books to shape, to form and transform our culture and our traditions. I have no time to turn you to the passage, but later if you read Jeremiah 16 verse 19, the culture we have inherited from our unbelieving parents is meaningless, is pointless, and it's futile. It doesn't serve to anything. The only culture and the only genealogy which is important is that you can trace your genealogy, your bloodline, to the day you were born again through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only genealogy which counts. Everything else. And Peter could say, oh, look at the verses here. He said, redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain behavior, your vain culture, your vain conduct, received from your unbelieving parents in time of your ignorance. What a sad folly. What a great folly. It is the greatest foolishness. After being saved, after being made a new creation, we go back to our old ways. That is a tragedy. But in the same heading, Peter says, we have been redeemed by the precious blood. In the verse 19, but with the precious blood. The but is important there. It makes the contrast, the two opposites, the spiritual and the terrestrial, the spiritual and the flesh, the spiritual and the earthly. Big gulf between the two. But, you see, you are not redeemed by these things. They are earthly. But now something more important. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And seven times in his two letters, Peter uses the word, refers to the word precious. 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 We can do a whole study really on that word through the two letters. It is precious. And you can see how he puts it. It is infinite and with no defect. Salvation, my brothers and sisters, is stamped with a bloodline. There is blood in salvation. Otherwise, there will be no salvation. Any attempt to minimize, to weaken the doctrine of the blood, to soften it or to avoid it is suspect. Why? Life is in the blood. You know that. From the Old Testament, from the beginning of the world, the Lord said, God said, life is in the blood. Life is sacred. The blood is sacred. God will avenge it. When Adam sinned against God, you know in Genesis chapter 3, the fall, when Adam sinned, the two last verses of that chapter, we are told that God had to offer a sacrifice. God had to offer blood. Yes, I know we live in a very sensitive, I don't want to put anyone off, but from the beginning, that's why did God accepted the sacrifice of Abel, not of Cain? Because Cain wanted to do his own way. But I'm sure Adam and Eve, the parents, have explained to their children, when we sinned against God, he covered us, and to cover us, he had to slaughter animals. So do the same, they said to their children. Do the same. But the sacrifice of Abel was a sacrifice of humility also. He came with a humble heart, a broken heart. And God dwells in a broken heart, not in a proud heart as Cain. And that's why later he was removed from the face of God. Things are purified, purged according to the Bible, by the blood. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Christ, you remember, when he was instituting the Lord's Supper, what did he say to his disciples? This is my blood which is shed for you. My brothers and sisters, by his blood, we are washed, Revelation chapter 7. By his blood we are cleansed, 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. And the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sins. Not some of them, but all of them. We are purged, cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are also, the guilt is removed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice something in verse 19. I'm sure you have seen it already. It says in verse 19 here, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, that could have done it. Well done. But it doesn't say of Jesus. It is not the blood of a man called Jesus, because there were many people called Jesus in that time. But here, but the precious blood of Christ. This reminds you the divinity of our Lord. He's divine. He's God over all. God of the very God. When in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord asked his disciples, whom do you think or whom do you say I am? You remember what Peter said? Matthew 16 verse 16. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, my friends, this is Christ, the blood of Christ, of God himself. As Paul will put it in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it is the blood of God. So Christ is certainly God, very God of the very God. So Christ suffered. He died a violent death. His blood was shed, but once for all and never again. Please allow me in my small, simple mind to say again, it costs more to redeem us than to create us. To create the whole universe, God did what? Just a word. Yeah? Just a word. Let it be. Let it be. And it was. But to redeem you and me, it cost what? Not a word, but the word. The word. God himself. What a great sacrifice by the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, another application here. Christ, blood, bought, right, should make you and me to appreciate him. If you take nothing from this Bible study, please, as you leave, appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. Love him. Love him with your heart. What have you done for him this week? And you leave tonight, the rest of this week, I want to be doing something for the Lord. That's the purpose, really, of any Bible study, any meditation, any devotion, even at home, any prayer, is for me to be doing something for the Lord. And here we are asked to love the Lord, to appreciate him, to be obedient. There is only one currency that is accepted in heaven, is the currency of the sacred blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Silver and gold can ruin us. You know that? But the blood of Christ can save us to the uttermost. You remember Simon in Acts chapter 8? When he saw the apostles doing miracles, he said, I will pay for it. I will pay for it. And you know, I'm sure, what Peter said to him. You cannot. God is a giver. You cannot buy anything from God. You only receive. So, the only currency that is accepted is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the blood of human and beasts is so precious, how much more is the blood of God? My dear friends, how far could anyone go for you and me? Even in families, how far anyone could go for you and me? But you see, God went so far, even deeper than how far we have fallen. He went deeper than our falling to lift us up by his power. And remember, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that raises a sinner from the dead also, to give him eternal life. This is another reason to live a holy life. Why do I live a holy life? Why do I serve the Lord? Why do I fear him? Why do I obey him? Because of his precious blood that was shed for me. But now I come to a second heading. The first one was a precious price. The second one, we'll go through it very quickly in verse 19 again. And it says, the blood of a perfect person, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. I know the expression doesn't exist in English, but I'm free. I'm not native English speaker, so I'm free to create. But here is the expression. As a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is for me the perfection. It doesn't exist in English, but you take it as it is. Because you find even human, sometimes people in their foolishness, they say, oh, he's a perfectionist. They don't know what they are talking about. But here you see the real perfectionist, the perfect perfectionist perfection. It is here. And the picture reminds us the Old Testament. You know what happened in the Old Testament? The Passover lamb, Exodus chapter 12. Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. And Hebrews chapter 4 verse 25 speaks about the great high priest. Christ is our great high priest. You know what is wonderful about the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the sacrifice and he is also the high priest who offers the sacrifice. All together. He is a lamb that shows to us his meekness. But He is without spot and without blemish. To remember the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Please, my dear brothers and sisters, Christ is the only person in the world who never asked for forgiveness. Never. You will not find anywhere where he asked for forgiveness. He is without spot. He never sought forgiveness, never apologized for a word or for a conduct. He never confessed a sin. You know the only fault they found on the Lord Jesus Christ? He claimed to be God because he forgives sins. That's the only fault they found in the Lord Jesus Christ, the religious leaders. But allow me to give you an anthology of confessions by different men in the Word of God. Just allow me. It's very easy to find the verses, but if I can give you just confessions of different people without even mentioning the Quran, you know the Quran, in the whole Quran, in 114 chapters of the Quran, the only person who is said to be without sin is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one. But here, coming back to the Bible, listen to the first thing Peter says. That's among the anthology of quotations. Peter said, Christ who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Listen to what John said, John the Apostle said, in him, no sin. Listen to what Paul said. Christ knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Judas. You know what Judas said? This is the enemy, the betrayal. The betrayer, the son of perdition. And in his remorse, it was not true repentance. It was just remorse. He said, I have sinned. I have betrayed innocent blood. There was a Roman centurion when Christ was crucified at the cross. And believe me, Roman centurions, they don't have feelings. They don't have emotions when it comes to crucifixion. But this man was standing there. You know what he said? He said, certainly this was a righteous man. But listen to what Pilate said. Pilate, Pontius Pilate. He said, I find no fault in him. What about his wife? Pilate's wife warned him. And she said to him, have nothing to do with this just man. The dying thief on the cross, you remember there were two of them? One of them, what did he say? This man has done nothing wrong. But you know what the Lord Jesus Christ said? His own witness, his own testimony. He said, whom or which of you will convince me of sin? It's a rhetorical question. Nobody. And in Acts chapter 13, verse 28, it is said, they found no cause of death in him. A precious price, a perfect person. And our third heading is a prophesied purpose. Look at it in verse 20. Verse 20, it says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Appointed before the foundation of the world. My dear brothers and sisters, God has never changed his mind. There was no plan B. Before there was a need of a savior, God appointed the savior and the saved ones. All was appointed. You see, there was no tombola. There was no lottery. There was no ballot to take to find one. There was none. Christ was the only one. The cure was found long before the malady. Long before you and me. The cure was found. The remedy was found. Christ has always existed, and he has always been the Savior. Please look at the application Peter makes now. My time is almost over. In verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, prophesied in eternity past. But what a wonderful statement in that verse 20. He was manifest for you. For us who believe, Christ was manifested. He came for us. It was not a general or generic or impersonal salvation. No, it was very personal. Christ knew exactly for whom he was dying on the cross of Calvary. That's why it says, for you. Are you one of the you? If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, what is precious about the blood of Christ? It is a compatible blood with every repentant sinner. I was told that my blood is rare. The donors will not be many. That's depressing. But with Christ, his blood is compatible with every repentant sinner. Before the foundation of the world, he would die. And he knew it all. All was fulfilled without a jerry note. He knew the plan. He knew for whom and how and when and where. All was done according to his plan, his purpose, and his idea. It was his idea. In due time, at the right time, at the appointed time, Christ came. And he died and raised again from the dead. I close with the last heading. It was powerfully accomplished. You know how powerfully it was accomplished? God raised him from the dead. It's here in verse 21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory? Christ risen from the dead. Matthew 28 verse 18, he said, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He has received all glory. You see, the early church never left the Lord Jesus on a cross. That's why when you go to a church and they have crosses here and there, you can buy a crucifix, but you cannot buy a savior. Run away from churches where they put crosses here and there. The early church never launched an investigation about the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew he was risen from the dead. And actually, the tomb belonged to a believer. Joseph of Arimathea. It belonged to everyone knew that place. But why are you seeking for the living among the dead? Christ is risen. Romans chapter 1 verse 4. He was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. It is a warrant. It is a warrant of our justification. And it is also an assurance that there will be life after the grave. Beyond the grave. We look beyond the grave. We are not destined to a grave. The body is. But the soul, as soon as your life comes to an end in this world, you breathe fresh air, heavenly air, divine air, close to the Lord Jesus Christ, with him, and with millions and millions of saints who have gone before us. But he was also raised from the dead to be the judge of the whole world. One day, all of us shall stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, I know it's over, but verse 21 again, do you see something that is said there? That your faith and hope be in God. You see the order? Faith must come first before hope. Your faith and your hope is in God, not in a teacher, not in a preacher, no matter how sublime his teaching could be. From the beginning to the end, God is at the center of our salvation. We receive all blessings through the Lord Jesus Christ. He satisfied the longing soul and he filled the hungry soul with goodness. My dear friends, our souls are polluted. We need cleansing, waters, conditioners, bleach, soaps, blood, penitence, prayers, tears. Nothing as such could redeem us from our filth and our pollution. We spoke about a precious price, a perfect person, a prophesied purpose, accomplished before the foundation of the world. Christ planned to come and he came. But it was powerfully fulfilled because he was risen from the dead. My dear brothers and sisters, I hope this makes you to serve the Lord, to love him, to walk with him, and to be obedient to his word. May the Lord bless us together. Let's close our time together by singing hymn number 420. Hymn number 420. And can it be...